Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
We started last weekend a series on what do you need to succeed in this season. Last weekend was part one. This weekend is part two. What do you need to succeed? That's so important in the season that we're in. And I just want to clarify, I just want to remind you that we're in a season. This too shall pass. The Bible says things that we can see are temporary and they're subject to change. And I tell you what, if you don't believe that, just wait 24 hours and see how much change right now. And that shouldn't shake us either, church family and my new friend. Because the Bible says in the last days, change will speed up. Oh my goodness, look how fast everything is changing before our very eyes. You know what? God made you for this moment. God made Church on the Rock. I believe this will be our greatest day. This is our greatest hour. I believe out of this, the new norm is going to be better. We're going to be in a higher level. We're going to be closer and stronger and more, excuse my English, blessed. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, it is a season and we will get through it. And God's calling all of us to lead people through. God's calling me to lead you through, lead our team through. God's calling me to lead my family through. And God's calling you to lead your family and your friends through. You've got a calling. Oh my goodness, a few weeks ago in our Dream Team banquet, I taught on calling. And here you are, rising up to your calling. Right now you are called to lead people through this and come out victorious. Amen? Victory over the virus. Amen. So let's get right into it. Last weekend, again, we gave you four things that you would need. Let's start off with our foundational text, Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. One of the major things that we need to succeed in this season is we need, listen very carefully, a sustainable, keyword, a sustainable, one more time, a sustainable plan. We need a plan that will keep us up in a down world. We need a plan that will keep us capable and able to lead ourselves and others through. Sustainable plan. Somebody said that if we fail to plan, we're planning to fail. The scripture says we should make plans. We should. This is Bible. We should make plans counting on God to direct us. A sustainable plan. What we need to succeed in this season is a sustainable plan. Let me give you an illustration. Many of you know that we work out. I and my sons, we work out together. And we've had fitness coaches. And we've had nutritional coaches, okay? The fitness coaches would devise a plan for us that we would do so many reps, so much weight. We would have to keep track of that. We'd have to keep upping the weight, even if it's a half a pound each week. And they kept track of on the physical side of lifting weights. But then we'd have these nutritional coaches that would find out our workout load, key, workout load. And then they would say, then to match what you've got to lift, you got to have the intake, the food intake that will sustain the lift. In other words, they would fix for us macros, you know, your carbs, your fat, your protein. And they would tell us, if you're going to lift that much weight, if you're going to do that much on a deadlift, if you're going to do that much on a squat, then you got to eat this much to sustain the weight. So it's important that you and I have a sustainable plan where that we are developing, feeding ourselves, spiritual nutrition, that we're putting in what we need to have in us to be able to overcome and lead others through this? A sustainable plan. The nutritional coach had to make sure that we were getting the food that would give us the strength in order to lift the weight that the weight coach wanted us to lift. Did y'all see the comparing there, the making that illustrate what I'm trying to say? We need to succeed in this season a sustainable plan. So I gave you last weekend, I gave you four things that we need. And number one, I said that we all need courage. Do you remember that? We all need courage. If you weren't with me, you can go to our website. You can watch last weekend's service. We all need courage. And we talked about that in detail. And then secondly, for us to lead ourselves and our family and our friends and others through this season, this crisis, this challenge, this virus, and how it's affecting our everyday life, everything we do. Number two, you would need calmness. Calmness. Oh, we spent time on that. Calmness. And we said that calmness, you know, it means stillness. Well, I like that. It means under control. I give you an illustration of Winston Churchill. But let me give you another illustration from the Bible. Calmness. It means stillness. It means under control. I'm thinking of, in the Bible, Moses. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, where they had been captive, into the promised land, they had to cross the Red Sea. Big obstacle, big giant, big problem. And I remember in the Bible, it says that Moses got to the edge of the Red Sea, and he didn't have a clue in the world how he was going to lead these million people through the Red Sea to get to the other side to escape Pharaoh in the Egyptian army. And here's what the Bible says. God spoke to him and he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Wow. Notice that my calmness is connected to what I can see, my perspective. If I'm anxious, worried, uptight, overwhelmed, then it's going to affect my perspective. But if I have a calm spirit, a peaceful spirit, I've stilled my spirit, my emotions are under control, I have a right perspective. I'm not exaggerating, nor am I minimizing or maximizing my problems, my challenges. Wow. God said, and maybe God's saying that to some of you today, you need to get calm. You need to get still. I think of the scripture in Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." Oh, my goodness. So stillness is connected to knowing God. Stillness, my spirit, quieting my spirit, getting still, getting calm, getting my emotions under control is connected to knowing more of God. And is connected to what I see. Vision, dream, revelation. Wow, an answer. Perspective. It's huge. We talked about it last weekend. Number three, what we need to succeed is we said we need confidence. Confidence. Wow. That's another word for faith. And we found out from the Bible that you and I, we can't fulfill the will of God without confidence. So we talked about that. Let's move on for sake of time. Number four, we said what we need to succeed in this season is we need a connection. We need to be connected. We need to be with people of like precious faith. We need to be doing what y'all are doing right there. Our congregation, all of us, we're encouraging everybody to stay connected, to call those that you haven't been around lately, you haven't seen lately, or the Holy Spirit would bring up their name. Call them. Call those people. Email those people in your departments. Email those people in the sections that you became friends with. Touch base with them. Connect with them. Now, I understand, and we're complying with our government, right? Bible teaches us to do that. I understand that isolation, they tell us, will cause this virus to begin to subside. The sooner we abide to our government's wishes that less contact is good, naturally, they tell us the virus will leave quicker, be gone, okay, over with. That's good naturally, but isolation is not good spiritually. We need one another. When we're all by ourselves, it affects our emotions, our mindset, our perspective, our outlook, our outcome. It affects everything about us. So we need connection. So why don't you sit with me there at home? Connection. Think about every day. Homework, think about every day. Who can I connect with at church that I haven't seen on the dream team? Who can I connect with in my department? Who can I connect with in my section? Who can I connect with today? Just to text them or email them or call them. Just say, how you doing? Can I pray for you? Do you have a need? We're here to help. Oh, my goodness. You know, somebody said that our miracle is in our ministry to other people. Wow, Shazam, Gomer Pyle. Our miracle is in our ministry to other people. A couple of weekends ago, I taught on what to do in a crisis, and I gave you 3 points. And the third one was reach out and help other people. Yeah, that's so important that we do that. And so now, this weekend, I want to give you 3 more things that we need to have a sustainable plan, that we need to succeed and come out better. This won't beat us, but this will build us. Amen? It's not going to break us, but it will build us in Jesus' name. So let me give you these 3 points. Number one is walk in love. Walk in love. A sustainable plan is make the decision to walk in God's love. And if you want to know more about what's God's love like, well, it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's found in 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 13, and it defines agape, the God kind of love. And so what you and I want to do in a world right now that's overwhelmed, uncertain, in fear, out of sorts, upset, bitter, angry, highly disturbed, highly unrational, doing crazy stuff. You know, somebody said, in the worst of times, it brings out the worst of people or the best of people. Well, I'm proud of you because it's bringing out the best of you and us at Church on the Rock. So walk in love. Now, why is that important? Because faith works by love. If I'm bitter, if I'm angry, if I'm mad at God, if I'm resentful, if I'm blaming God for something that happened, guess what? Faith won't work. Faith won't work. Can't move a mountain. Can't do the impossible. Can't see God do what he wants to do. So we have to make the decision to go upstream, countercultural, and walk in love. That's huge. Walk in love. Now, let me give you the scripture. First John, can we put it on the screen, guys? Thank you. 4:18. There is no what? Fear in love. Well, what's more dangerous right now than the coronavirus? Fear. Fear is more dangerous than the virus. Fear opens the door to everything evil in our life. Fear activates the devil and every demon. Fear diminishes our life. The thing that we fear, Job said, came on him. Actually, as bad and as evil and as terrible and destructive as this coronavirus is, fear is worse. But I have the antidote. I have the vaccine for this virus, and it's God's love. Wow. Get a revelation of it. Begin to meditate on it. Read scriptures. Look at your concordance. Look at your Bible. It'll give you scriptures on love. Begin to read them, and you begin to have faith in God's love for you. When you realize how much God loves you, it brings security. When you realize how much God loves you, it brings transformation. It changes your identity. It changes how you see yourself, and how you see God, and how you see others. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love, that's God's love, casts out fear. Because fear, and boy, we can relate to this, has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in God's love. So it's saying, if I can't sleep at night and I'm in torment and I'm panicking and I'm worrying, I'm fretting, I'm anxious and I'm upset, I have all the above, it says the problemo is that I don't understand God's love for me. So I would say, ask God every day to show you how much he loves you. Number two, read the Bible concerning, start with 1 Corinthians 13. That would be a sustainable plan. You know, we talk about Psalm 91, but how about 1 Corinthians 13? It'll transform everything, walking in God's love. Now, I give you a story. Years ago, my second-born son, Stephen, who's 36, He just had a birthday a few weeks ago, and so did Daniel, both of them. But Stephen, when he was born, he was born premature, and the doctor said he wouldn't live. And I remember that Kim, my wife, was in St. Luke's Hospital, and they arrested Stephen. He was premature. They ran him down to St. Children's Hospital, downtown St. Louis. They put him in an incubator on 100% oxygen. The doctor said he won't live, so don't even be concerned. That night that he was born, I'll never forget, the doctor said, don't even worry about his birth certificate right now. Don't even worry about a name. I'll never forget that. And so, we needed a miracle. And I'm making a long story very short. It is that Kim, you know, one afternoon it was raining, and Stephen was there in the incubator, and she was in another hospital. And Kim called me up, and she said, Dave, I just think if you go down right now and lay hands on Stephen, I just think he'll totally recover right now. I mean, start right then. I said, okay. So I got in the car. I'll never forget it. It was raining, and I was in a hurry to get down to the hospital. I got stopped. I was speeding, and I got stopped. I got a ticket. Boy, that just put on everything else that day. It was one of those days from hell. And so I finally got down there, and I went in there, put the gown on, put the cap on, and you had to put your hands through the incubator. And I put my hands through. I laid my hands on his little body. And you know what I felt led to do? Here's what I did. I didn't bind. I didn't loose. I didn't curse. I didn't, you know what I felt led to do by the Holy Spirit? I sang. Pastor, we've heard you sing. Well, it was a miracle. I sang. And you know what I sang to Stephen? Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sorry, it's still. And I sang about the love of Jesus for Stephen. I didn't bind and loose or curse. I sang about God's love for him. And lo and behold, you know what happened? Starting that day, total turnaround. Less oxygen he needed, less oxygen, more on his own. In a couple weeks, he's home. He's a miracle child. What was that? Focusing on the love of God. During this time where you feel like maybe like nobody cares, or you feel lonely, or you feel like you're left out and left, and that God doesn't care, I'm here to tell you God is for you. And God has a plan for your life, and it's not over. We will get through this together. Number two, a sustainable plan, walk by faith. Walk by faith. You're hearing a lot right now, but it's so true. We've got to replace the fear with faith. So you and I need to have less of the news and more of the good news. We need to look at those things that are feeding fear and limit and restrain it. I know we got to know what's in the know, so read the headlines and don't go and read the rest of it, okay? So we want less fear and more faith. Why? Because we can't overcome, we can't have victory over the virus without faith. Faith. And the scripture is this, 1 John 5, verse 4, a sustainable plan. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes. I like that. Overcomes the world. And this is the victory. What's the victory going to be over this virus? Well, not worry, not panic, not fear, not anger, not bitterness, not feeling sorry for myself, not self-pity, not anxiety. What is the key? Pastor, what is the antidote? Pastor, I want to know, what is it? It's faith. Because it says, and this is the victory that overcomes this virus, even our faith. A sustainable plan. Don't forget my illustration at the very beginning. I wanted to lift this kind of weight. I had to have this kind of strength. I wanted to deadlift that. I had to have this kind of strength. I had to have a sustainable diet that gave me the strength to accomplish what I wanted to do. So here's what I say. We're going to have to walk in love, a sustainable plan. Number two, we're going to have to walk by faith. And so what does that mean? Feed your faith every day. What does that mean? I've told you forever, get a Bible reading plan and have that thing going and get in the book and meditate on the word. We talked last week, it'll make you strong by meditating on the word. What is meditating on the word? It's saying the word, thinking the word, seeing the word, doing the word. What it is. So our sustainable plan, number one, was we're going to walk in love. Number two is we're going to walk by faith. And number three is we're going to be Holy Spirit led. Wow. We're going to be Holy Spirit led. Ooh, this is so important. And let me give you the scripture. If we could put it on the screen up here, guys. It says, howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit is a he, is a person, the Spirit of truth has come, he will, wow, don't we need guidance now for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, our church, our ministry, our business? Some of you business leaders, your business is being whacked big time. Hold your course. Stay connected to God. Be a tither. Be a giver. Feed your faith, starve your fear. Do these things we're talking about every weekend as we gather. I promise you, I can lead you through it as we follow the Holy Spirit. He will guide you as the team comes out. He will guide you into all truth. What is the truth? It's the Bible. So he's going to guide me as I read the truth, the Bible. He'll speak to me. He'll guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, watch this, he'll speak. And here's what I like. He will show you things to come. Stay with me now. He will show you the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm doing every day for my sustainable plan. And in the mornings I say, Holy Spirit, show me the things to come, because it's changing so fast. You know, we're having strategic meetings here at church with our staff. And no sooner do we go through a strategic planning session and everything has changed in 3 hours. It's called, we got to be adaptable. You got to be resilient in this season we're in right now. In the mornings I say, Holy Spirit, show me the things to come so I can prepare for them. Show me the things to come so I can avoid the things that, you know. One more story. Years ago, I was in Israel. This is before 9/11, before the security at the airports. And I was in Israel, and I was with a group, and I was on my way back. I was in Tel Aviv. I was getting on the plane, and you walked across the tarmac, and you got on the steps and got into the plane that way, all right? And I'll never forget that I'm waiting in line to get on the plane to come back home from Israel, and there's a whole line of us, and there's a guy in front of me with a backpack. Now, remember, before 9/11, no security. And all of a sudden, here come the sirens, the security, the Israeli Secret Service, and they came all around us, and they grabbed the guy in front of me, threw him to the ground. He had a bomb in the backpack. Well, this is so cool. Be Spirit-led. Every day, make sure you're full of the Spirit. Every day, make sure if you're not full of the Spirit and you don't have a prayer language, contact us. We'll help you. We'll pray you through. We'll lead you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Check out our resources, because you need to be praying in the Spirit, in tongues, a prayer language every day. That tunes your spirit to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That tunes your spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, it tunes your spirit to move in the gifts of the Spirit. So lo and behold, I didn't know, because I didn't have a cell phone back then. This is back, you know, pre-dinosaur time. I didn't have a cell phone, but I found out later when I got home, Kim said, when did that happen? What time was that happen? And she had got a group of people together here at church to pray for me at that exact time. And she said, we didn't know what was going on, but we knew that you were in trouble and you needed a miracle, the divine intervention. So we felt led to pray for you. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. So a sustainable plan. What I need to succeed. What is it? I need to walk in love every day. Number two, I need to walk by faith every day. And number three, I need to stay full of the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit every day. And you know what? Tommy's going to come in a moment, and he's going to tell you the next step, and he's going to tell you how you can do that. But before he does, I want to pray one more prayer with you until next weekend. If you're watching, you've gathered, you're there, and you don't know God, I encourage you, let me lead you to God today. You maybe know God, but you're not right with God. Let me help you today. I love you. I care about you. Let me help you today. So if that's you, pray this prayer with me. And everyone say it out loud if you can. Heavenly Father, I repent. I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me a prayer language and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.